Welcome to Australian Women Preach, a podcast that aims to raise women's voices in preaching the gospel. Our intention is to model the church we want to be, inclusive, diverse, and welcoming. Brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and The Grail in Australia. Reverend Dr. Megan Powell Dutoit is the senior pastor of Rouse Hill Baptist Church in Sydney. She's been preaching for 24 years and has had the privilege of preaching within six different denominations and counting. She's worked as a pastor, editor, and academic, and is co-director of the WADR project with the Reverend Dr. Michael Jensen, which produces the podcast With All Due Respect.
Well, at first glance, Mark 1, 40 to 45 is a simple story of Jesus' power to heal. But we take another look and we see that it is infused with drama. Jesus displays deep emotion. Depending on the translation we use, he's either showing compassion or anger. He also speaks with stern emphasis to the man he has just healed. Moreover, understood in historical context, it involves the transgression of societal and religious law. To situate it in Mark's gospel, it arrives in the very first chapter, one of the very first acts of Jesus' ministry. And it helps set the scene then, not only for how Jesus will undertake his mission, but also some of the tensions of that mission. Now here, Jesus is approached by a man with leprosy. This is not necessarily the disease we now know as leprosy, but it would have been a serious disease with some skin symptoms. Such diseases, due in part to the possibility of contagion, came under strict religious quarantine law. Unless the person with it experienced a cure, they were cast out from society and from the ability to participate in religious practice. So for this man, it's not just that he's suffering with the effects of the disease itself, but also the effects of the isolation it imposed. These would have been manifold: economic, social, and religious. The mental and emotional anguish would also have been acute. And that these effects are at the top of his mind is shown by how he asked Jesus for help. He doesn't just say, "Jesus, can you heal me?" But rather he says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, clean here is a category of the Jewish religious law. To be declared clean then is more than physical healing. It would mean that he'd be able to rejoin society and join God's people again in worship. It is to regain access to everything that imparts meaning to life. It is a state requiring that he be physically healed, yes, but its benefits are way beyond that. Of course, once we understand this, then a crucial aspect of the story is revealed. This man, because of his disease, is required to stay away from other people. However, in a desperate hope for help, he breaks this law and he approaches Jesus. And he knows that he is breaking this law because he is asking for Jesus to remove him from this unclean category. It makes me think here of how often we want people to ask for help in acceptable ways. We can be offended by the dirty state of the homeless person without thinking about how they do not even have access to the means of being clean. We chide refugees who have, in our mind, bypassed the usual method of gaining refuge because maybe they've gotten a boat. But we don't pause to think about what kind of desperation would cause someone to trust themselves and their loved ones, including children, to a rickety boat in a vast ocean and giving much money to people smugglers. Well, how will Jesus respond to this transgressive ask for help? He will be well within societal standards to turn the man down since he has broken the rules in approaching him. But Jesus does not send him away. In fact, we're told that Jesus experiences an emotional reaction which moves him to heal this man. Now, there's a question here over what precisely that emotional reaction was. Some manuscripts here have Jesus experiencing anger. More manuscripts say that Jesus was moved with compassion. Yet, given how much more likely it is that later scribes would have been quite uncomfortable with Jesus being angry, I tend to think that probably the original stated that Jesus was angry. and that they have changed it. Is he angry at the man? That doesn't seem to make sense because he acts immediately to heal the man on the basis of the emotion. Rather, it seems to me that he is probably angry at the situation of this man, the terrible effects of the disease, which compound the trauma of it, the social and economic and mental and emotional effects. So the versions saying that Jesus is moved with compassion aren't wrong necessarily, because I think the anger that Jesus has here would seem to come from deep empathy, an ability to feel all that this is meant for this man and for others like him. And this is a challenge to us in our lukewarm aid to others. Too often we either don't act at all, or we do so from a duty and a desire to be seen to be someone who does the right thing. But Jesus' help here comes from a heart deeply affected by the lives of others. And he is so deeply affected, he becomes angry. And again, anger at injustice and suffering can sometimes be unacceptable in some circles. We want people to keep their emotional reactions moderate so that we aren't made uncomfortable. But Jesus is not calmly and politely moderate here. He acts immediately to help. And here's the way he helps here. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing. Be made clean." Now, if the man should not have approached Jesus, Jesus should certainly not have touched him. He is unclean. And Jesus could have chosen to heal without touching him in this way. We know from other stories that Jesus can heal even at a distance. So why does Jesus defy the law here? I think it is because he recognizes that this man needs not only physical healing, but relational embrace. And it mirrors also what Jesus does for all of us. Because Jesus is not made unclean by us, but we are all made clean by him. And Jesus is never constrained by a rigid, inhumane application of the law. Elsewhere, we know he heals on the Sabbath, which was also not allowed. For Jesus, the human being and all their manifold needs are always at the center. However, then Jesus does something else slightly odd. We're told, after sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Now, from deep compassion and aid, he now sternly warns. The Greek here is an emphatic double negative. And so Jesus is very keen that the man understand it is important to obey this warning. The second half of this verse makes sense of it for us. He is telling the man to go do that, which will get him readmitted to society. But why isn't he allowing him to tell anybody else about what Jesus has done? It would seem a natural response. Well, this becomes clear in what happens next. Disobeying Jesus, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country and people came to him from every quarter. Now, so what happens is the man telling everyone about Jesus has actually made Jesus's overall mission more difficult. The popularity that he gains means he is overwhelmed by the crowds. Also, knowing what will happen to Jesus as his mission continues, we must also think that this has made him much more likely to attract hostile attention from the authorities, which would also at this point jeopardize his mission. But would not Jesus have known that this man would do exactly what he told him not to? Even I can tell that was what was going to happen. Secrets are always difficult to keep in community, and the more significant they are, the more so. I think Jesus was well aware of this outcome. So what strikes me is that he acts to heal anyway. And there can be a temptation to avoid helping others because we realize that to do so will make our own lives more difficult. And even we can often say to ourselves, "Oh, but if I do things for this person, or for this group, well, then I won't be able to help others as much. But Jesus, though desiring to protect his overall mission, doesn't engage here in that kind of cautious mathematics. He was able to help. He wanted to help. And so he did help. Indeed, love compelled him to it. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't exercise wisdom in working through how to best use our resources to help others. But this does challenge us to reflect on how often do we avoid doing good because of some potential difficulty for ourselves, or because we make too quick a decision that it will cause too many problems. You see, far from a simple story of healing testifying here just to the power of Jesus, although it does do that, this is a story that can reveal to us the limits of our own compassion and challenge us to love more deeply and to help more sacrificially and generously. Here is also a call to think through the complex effects of suffering in whatever form it takes, and to seek to aid people along all the dimensions in which they are experiencing hurt and harm. And so I say to us, may we all have the indignant heart of Jesus.
You have been listening to Australian Women Preach, brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and The Grail in Australia. You can find out more about WATAC at watac.net.au and The Grail at grailaustralia.org.au. The music in this podcast is from the song Truth, from the album Into Silence, by songwriter, musician, theologian and teacher Danielle Ann Lynch. You can hear the full version on Spotify.